Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
The Israeli-Palestinian conflict has seen a return to violence in recent weeks as the latest round of fighting continues, and with no meaningful truce on the table, could we soon witness an escalation in that violence? Could the current clashes erupt into something more serious? Daniel Levy is a Middle East expert at the European Council for Foreign Relations and he joins me now. Daniel Levy, just by way of background for our listeners, you've worked in the office of the former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. You also were part of the negotiation team for the Oslo B agreement under Prime Minister Rabin. So a long-time insider, now turned observer, are you surprised at the speed at which this latest crisis has escalated?
Sadly, Mary, my answer is no, because we've been here before, both in general and specifically when it comes to Israeli operations launched against Gaza. People remember the devastating destruction and loss of life in 2008, 2009, perhaps, in something that was called Operation Cast Lead. More recently, in November of 2012, there was an operation called Pillars of Defense. And the big difference between them was that both had devastating consequences for those who lost their lives, of course, and were injured. But there were far less losses in that second strike, partly because that lasted 8 days rather than 22 days in that earlier incident. And the fear now is that this could be a longer one. And the Israelis are already claiming, the Israeli Air Force is claiming that it has struck more targets in Gaza in these past 48 hours than it did in the entirety of the last operation. That may be bravado, but it's certainly worrying.
Is it a legitimate response for Israel to respond to Palestinian rockets in this way?
If history began 2 days ago, and this is taken in total isolation and out of context, you could turn around and say, listen, rockets are being fired across Israel at indiscriminately at civilian population centers. Of course, one has to do whatever one can to defend one's population, including conducting these kinds of strikes, which sometimes will hit so-called militant targets and sometimes will hit innocent civilians in Gaza. However, history didn't begin yesterday, and this can't be taken out of context and in isolation. And once the context is given, the context of an occupation of the Palestinian territories for 47 years, the context of Israel having withdrawn from Gaza in 2005 but maintaining what essentially amounts to a blockade on Gaza ever since, the context of really giving the Gazans no normal life, continuing to occupy the West Bank and East Jerusalem, conducting a quite significant act of collective punishment, specifically in the last 2 weeks before this, then no, then it's an absolutely unacceptable position to pursue.
Prime Minister Netanyahu talking tough, and I heard government spokesman Mark Regev just at 5 o'clock saying, you know, there won't be a band-aid solution here, that we're acting, he said, to dismantle Hamas's military machine. How far will they go?
I imagine far less than their rhetoric suggests, because at the end of the day, Israel doesn't have a better option. Here are Israel's options, Mary. Israel can go in and reoccupy Gaza. You can't control Gaza from the air indefinitely. You would have to go in and reoccupy Gaza, deploy troops there for a period of time, and Israel becomes the government in Gaza again. They tried that for 40 odd years. It didn't go so well. So I don't think there's an appetite for that. What are you going to do? Go in, retake Gaza, and then hand Gaza back to some friendly, cuddly Palestinian collaborator on the back of an Israeli tank? That's unlikely to work well either. The Egyptians don't want Gaza to be handed over to them. And if you degrade Hamas's ability to function and to govern Gaza too much, then you are left with an even worse situation, because no one's in control. So the truth is, the Israelis unfortunately, and the Israeli population is going to suffer as a consequence of their government's horribly irresponsible and short-sighted policy. But the Israelis are likely to continue this for some days. But if they want to vanquish Hamas, then they're going to get something much worse. And although I've heard Israeli government spokespeople making the ridiculous claim that Hamas is the equivalent of this group ISIS in Iraq or Boko Haram in Nigeria, that's not the case. The Israeli security establishment knows full well that that's not the case. Israel has negotiations, directly or indirectly, with Hamas over ceasefires, over prisoner exchanges. Hamas is not my cup of tea, but it is a largely responsible nationalist Islamist movement with whom Israel has and can do business, and it's better than the alternatives available. So I imagine this is more bluster and rhetoric than actual plans. I worry, though, that the longer this goes on, the longer we don't see an attempt at mediation and de-escalation, the worse it will get. And the worst thing of all, Mary, is what happens in 2 weeks, in 2 months, when this is over and when there's quiet again. Does one use that period of quiet in order to fundamentally change the situation, or are we simply counting down to the next cycle of bloodshed and violence? Because there's been periods, longer periods of quiet, and the Israelis haven't opened the siege, haven't given the Gazans any hope. The world hasn't sought to really address the fundamental roots of this problem with the Palestinians and the Israelis.
Daniel Levy, Middle East expert at the European Council for Foreign Relations. Many thanks for joining us here on Drive Time this evening.